Final hour on the way. Thanks to DMAC in the last segment, always bringing good stuff. Nate Goodyear, Katie Christensen with you. Dave, taking some time off until the new year, so it's just the two of us for the final hour today, and then 3 hours tomorrow, and then it's holiday time. Hey, Katie, you're busy in Salt Lake City. We got you, right?
Yeah, you're there. Yeah, I'm here.
Perfect. Well,
I would never leave you, Nate.
Unlike Dave. I appreciate that. Joining us now. Yeah, I know, Dave, whatever. I'm kind of sidetracked here, though, because we've got the voice of the Raiders with us right now as we continue our football kick. It's Greg Papa on the line right now as he joins us each and every week. Greg, it's just Nate and Katie today. Hey, good to have you on, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Katie. You travel more than I do. Where were you last year? Denver? And now you're in Salt Lake City?
Gosh, I haven't been to Denver yet, Greg. But
where were you last week? You were somewhere last week.
You know, it's crazy. I'm trying
Memphis,
to remember.
Houston,
Nate.
Something
okay,
like
yeah.
That.
Houston, Memphis, Dallas. Houston. Yes.
Wow. All the hot spots.
I know.
Hey, Greg, you know the drill, man. You see the Kings enough. Like, you know the hot spot is everywhere they go.
I realize that. I know that. What happened with Big Cuz last night? When I wrapped up the Warriors post game, I saw the beginning of the highlights and him throwing the mouth guard, and then they brought him back, which I thought was really weird. Why did he get kicked out and then they rescinded the second tee?
Go ahead, Jay.
That's a great question, Greg. He got kicked out because the officials thought that he threw his mouthpiece, and then when they conferred together as a unit, and they actually asked Terry Stotts, and he said no, he did not throw it. So they brought him back. Obviously, not a reviewable play. It was a really bizarre. Like, I've never seen it happen. Then he comes back in, knocks down the free throw, has maybe a game saving, block on the other end of the floor. Bizarre in just way too many ways.
Well, that's a big number. I mean, 55. The guy's extremely talented. We saw Utah last night. They did not play Derek Favors. I think they were holding him out because they had a back-to-back, so I think he'll get him tonight. But that'll be a great matchup against Rudy Gobert, who really bothered the Warriors last night the whole first quarter. He wasn't blocking shots. They were just afraid to shoot the ball. It's like he was lurking over every shoulder. They kept peeking for him, so that's a prime-time matchup, DeMarcus Cousins against Rudy Gobert, who I think is one of the most improved players I've seen in the league in a long time. He's always had the ability to block shots with his size, but he has gotten so much better offensively. He actually can catch the ball a little bit and finish around the rim, and he's not a bad player.
You know, the crazy thing is, Greg, we faced Utah less than 2 weeks ago. It was very recently that we were here on the road against them. And, you know, the Stifle Tower had 5 blocks in that game and did a really good job affecting things and was able to come out with the win on that one. So I'm curious to see how they approach this game. But the great news is, you know, we've talked about Kings, they got to win. But right now the Raiders are maybe one of the hottest teams out there, definitely in the driver's seat in division. So, but the great news, Pro Bowl announcements come out and it got a lot of love for the Raiders.
It's amazing. I did not expect 7. You know, I think we knew that Derek would make it and Amari would make it. And Khalil would make it, and Kelechi Osemele would make it. And, you know, Donald Penn has a pretty good reputation. But to have, it's like the old days where you got Art Shell, Gene Upshaw, and Jim Otto from the center to the entire left side of your offensive line. Now, they made the Pro Bowl team. The hope is that they don't go to the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
Because the Pro Bowl is right before the Super Bowl. And if the Raiders do get into the Super Bowl, they're not going to Orlando. I don't know why the hell the Pro Bowl's in Orlando this year, but in any event, so, and then obviously Khalil's a lock. The one that surprised me is Reggie Nelson. I think, you know, because he had the 8 picks last year in Cincinnati, and the one thing about the Pro Bowl, we saw it for years in a lot of positions in the NFL. It's like having tenure as a college professor. They never quite get rid of you, and they keep bringing you back on reputation. Reggie's having a good year, but I wouldn't take anybody else besides Khalil from the Raider defense, but it's a great honor. They haven't had 7 since I've been with the team. I remember when we went to the Super Bowl in 2002. They had quite a lot, but to have 7 is the most since the early 90s. So it's amazing. It's a lot of years. All it was Shane Lechler. All we can say is send the putter. That's all we got. We punt the ball so much. And now you're sending 7. is pretty amazing, pretty incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I think my favorite part of it, Greg, and I've said this a couple times throughout the show, but that when you root for a team that has struggled for so long and then they suddenly become good again, and really good like the Raiders have, you spend this whole season kind of just waiting for the other shoe to drop. You just, you're in disbelief at the fact that, God, we might actually have nice things this year. And then when you find out you have seven Pro Bowlers, it validates it. It makes you feel good as a fan because that's the rest of the league saying, hey, we're good. We're really good, guys.
Yes, we are. They like us. you're exactly right. Because when they lost in Kansas City, right away my mind starts to swirl to the last 13 years. And I'm like, are they ever going to win a game? You got San Diego, and you got Luck coming in on Christmas Eve. You got to go to Denver, and they'd love to stick it to the Raiders. So right away you're thinking, you're not going to close the year on a four-game losing streak, are you, and sneak in? But Sunday was a huge game in the renaissance of this team. To find out that Kansas City lost, and to watch that game, and it was right before kickoff, and with Twitter and all the social media, the coaching staff knew, and I think the players, it filters down to them. So they knew. They knew that it wasn't going to be enough just to qualify for the playoffs, although that's a great achievement unto itself. But to do it with climbing back into first place in the AFC West and have Kansas City lose on that long field goal at home, because it's just such a huge difference in the NFL. It's the biggest advantage in professional sports is to be a one or two seed and get a bye. You don't have to play on wild card weekend. If you win your division, you don't play wild card weekend. The second round, the divisional round, you host a game. Versus if you don't win your division, you play wild card weekend and you play on the road and you don't get any home games unless you're the five seed and the six seed goes to the championship game. That's the only way it could happen. So it's just an amazing difference. So Sunday was a really special day in the history of this franchise for the Raiders to win the game later in the way they want it and for Kansas City to lose it earlier.
Well, you know, as bad as the Chargers have been this year, Greg, that's a tough way to do it, too, against Philip Rivers, who to me, and this is kind of a weird way to put it, but to me, he's like the Jeff Fisher of quarterbacks, where, you know, Philip Rivers has been much more productive, but Philip Rivers has a way of, you know, either playing up to the level of his opponent or dragging teams down to his level and always keeping it close, and it's the second division game on a road. I mean, that's no small feat to do it the way they did.
Philip Rivers has had an interesting career. I would not put him in the Jeff Fisher category. That guy hung around for two decades because he had Steve McNair and Eddie George. He really never won anything.
Anything.
It's amazing that he lasted as long, and now he's bitching about getting fired. But in any event, Rivers, I've seen him so much throughout the years, obviously, his whole career. He never misses a game. For a long time, he carried this team on its back with Tomlinson and Marty, and then later North Turner. I mean, they won the AFC West just about every year in the middle 2000s. He played on a torn ACL in New England in a playoff game. I have great respect for him. But I do not think he's a Hall of Famer. I gave it a lot of thought going into this game. His numbers are amazing. But Vinny Testaverde had great numbers as well. He threw for over 45,000 yards, and we're not putting the colorblind Vinny Testaverde in the can. So I admire Rivers. But the amazing thing in this game, we knew the Raiders would take that stadium over going back to Southern California. In the early 2000s, when the Raiders won the AFC West three straight years, we'd go down there and the fan base would completely take it over, and it'd be a lot of Raiders. But the amazing part of this game Sunday is the way they booed the Chargers.
Yeah.
And when Philip Rivers took the field to warm up before the game with the quarterbacks and he got booed off his home field, it had to be stunning. To him, it was stunning to me. I mean, it's one thing to root for your team, but to really make it a Raider black hole home game vibe, to boo Rivers and the whole shot. They were so afraid to announce their starters, they didn't even do it. They just had the team run out because they thought they would be booed off the field. So it's just, that was a trip for me, just how not only the Raider Nation took that stadium over, but they booed the hell out of the Chargers, everything they did. It was incredible.
That's crazy. You know, so important, obviously, this time of year, health of a team, Greg, and you're closing out the season, two games remaining, and then you're looking ahead to the playoffs. We actually had a question for you from the text line that is great. You know, they're wanting to know the latest on Mario Edwards, as well as what's going on with that Alden Smith situation.
We don't really know. I think Mario's going to come back and play. I think the hope, I was told he would be borderline to play in the San Diego game. And I think they could have pushed it. If it was a playoff game, I think he would have played. But they wanted to give him one more week. And I think the plan is to unwrap that big silver and black number 97 box on Christmas Eve at 1 o'clock and let him go get Andrew Luck. He won't play a lot of snaps. He hasn't played since the first preseason game. So, he's in good shape. But it's different than playing football. So he'll be gassed, but I think you just want to give him a little more each week and then get him up and rolling by, hopefully they get a bye, and it wouldn't be that first weekend in January. It'd be the second weekend. So you'd buy him a little time, but you want to get him reps, then, obviously do it more in Denver, get him a good burn in the altitude there and try to get his cardio and just his football legs back. With Alden, we don't know. I don't think anybody knows. Alden likes to talk a lot. His personal trainer likes to talk a lot, which I think is at a detriment. You don't call the NFL unprofessional. Are you kidding? They've been around 100 years, and they're the very court you have to, get on your hands and knees and beg to. So that's not a good ploy. He keeps saying, I'm back, and he's not back. So the reality is this is a huge factor. And everybody, we keep looking to New England, and you got to beat other teams. You got to deal with Pittsburgh. So whether it's Brady or Roethlisberger, you got to go get these quarterbacks, and really you got to go get Brady. So if you do wind up playing them either in Oakland or in Foxborough, you'd love to have this pass rush where you can supplement the Slash brothers, Khalil Mack and Bruce Irvin, with Mario Edwards Jr. rushing over a guard inside, and then Alden Smith. You could move Irvin inside. You could move Khalil. Can you imagine Khalil Mack rushing over a guard in the A gap? They'd have to put three guys on him.
Yeah.
So it would change everything. So when you look forward to the January football, which you know you're a part, the pass rush is going to be critical because the weakness of this team is still the secondary. There's no doubt. So you got to go get the quarterback and make him get the ball out fast where they can't get down the field on you. And Alden Smith, when he's right, Katie, is just I thought he was better than Khalil Mack when he was here. He didn't play a whole lot last year. He got hurt. He's different than Khalil. He's just such a force, good in the run game because he's so strong. He looks so lanky, but he's powerfully built, and he's just a natural, lanky, long-armed edge rusher. He just knows how to do it. He's state-of-the-art. Now, where's he at? I mean, how many games has he played since he hit that tree, years ago before the Colt game on that Friday morning? So he hasn't played a lot. He looks like he's working out hard. But to answer your question, I think Mario's coming back on Christmas Eve, and you just don't know when Alden's coming back. You just got to hope.
Greg Papa's with us, courtesy of Jiffy Lube. Go to JiffyLubeCA.com for valuable coupons. And you bring that up about Alden Smith, and I think it's funny you say that because, when the first started coming out that he might be getting ready for a return, I was kind of saying that same thing, and I was reluctant, stupidly on my part, I was kind of reluctant to go on the air with that. But it's like, hey, you guys, the big secret here is that he's been sitting out for a while, but Alden Smith was better than Khalil Mack. And we're talking about a guy that was all pro at two positions. Alden Smith is a freak.
I remember when the Niners drafted him, you were like, who the hell is this guy
from
Missouri? Well, I mean, Trent Baalke gets ripped for a lot of picks. That was his. And we did not know who he was. He did not have great numbers in school. Right away, his first few years in the NFL were as good as anybody's in the history of the game. And he's a natural pass rusher. And the way the Raiders play their defense, he is perfect. They kind of got away from a 34, which they were playing last year when they got Alden. And it's more of a over-under front. It's hard to explain. But what they like to do, it's called a crash nine technique, where they want Khalil and the other end, outside linebacker or defensive end, it's an outside linebacker in this defense, to play wide outside the tackle that's going to block them and then come down and crash into them. Well, Alden Smith is just, I think he's the best I've ever seen do that. Remember him with the Niners? It looked like he was out over a slot wide receiver. He'd be so far out, wider than the nine technique, which is a really wide spot in the defensive front. And then he would just come down and he would do it with so much power. And again, he looks like he's a skinny, long-arm guy. How tough is he? He is. I've seen him stand up the run game. How about that play he made against Russell Wilson in the NFC Championship game years ago when he just ran him down like a cheetah? I mean, the guy, Khalil's a different beast. Khalil is just pure power. and he's gotten a lot of tricks to how to rush the passer. Aldon Smith didn't need to be taught anything. He came into the NFL with the veteran presence of an edge rusher, and he's a great combo. Bruce Irvin had 2 sacks in San Diego. Bruce is a fine player. But they're not worried about 51. They're worried about 52. Mm-hmm. He's getting doubled every play. If you get 99 back, and they'll have to watch a couple of snaps just to see what he's got, but if he proves to the opponents that he's really Aldon Smith, good luck now. Now you got to double both of them. That's going to leave the middle of the front wide open, and now you get Mario Edwards Jr., you get Bruce Free. I mean, now you can go get Tom Brady in 2-2-2-3 before he gets the ball out of his hand. Now you got a chance.
You know, and like you said, too, that tends to make your linebackers and secondary look a lot better, too.
Without question, they don't have to cover as long. They know they can. It plays to the strength of the Raider corners, which are big. You get Sean Smith, you get David Amerson. They're big. They want to get on you and grab you to hold you. What they're worried about is the guy getting behind them. So if they can get up and grab and hold within the 5 yards where it's legal, they feel comfortable because the ball's got to come out. They're not going to block 52 and 99 forever. They're going to get steamrolled. So we're kind of dreaming here. I don't know. I really don't know if Alden's going to come back. I mean, we're running out of time. You got 2 more regular season games. I don't even know what the rule is. I don't think they can reinstate him for the playoffs, right? I mean, he's
I don't know that for sure, but it seems like that there would be some rule against that.
I got to look into that, but you're running out of time. He's got to come back. He's got to walk into Alameda today, right now, have breakfast, go. And if he's got it, because he hasn't played in so long that we're talking about Mario Edwards Jr. Mario went to camp. I mean, Aldon hasn't been. You can go to training camp last year. They signed him late. He hasn't played.
Yeah.
So we're kind of dreaming that he can be Aldon Smith, but he's one of those freaky athletes that. You know, it took him a couple games to get up and rolling last year, but he was pretty good. He also took a big block, I remember, in Pittsburgh against D'Angelo Williams, and a lot of people think he wasn't quite the same player after that. His game did fall off. I kind of thought he got a little tired because he kind of hit the wall, but we're hoping. I mean, he could really make a difference. But either way, they got a shot. They just got to get Amari Cooper going. They got to get Derek Sfinger better and get him under center and get back to scoring 35 points a game and not in the high the low 20s.
Greg Papa joining us this morning on KHGK. I want to talk to you a little bit about this upcoming game on Sunday before we let you go. What do you see as key for the Raiders against this Colts team?
That guy who wears number 12 with the horseshoe on his helmet. I love Andrew Luck. Any people listen to my radio show in the Bay Area, I've been obsessed with him since he was at Stanford. I watched every single snap he took at Stanford. He was doing things in college football that only 4 or 5 quarterbacks were doing in the NFL.
Yeah, you could see it right away when he was a redshirt freshman.
He ran the whole thing. He was just like, who is this kid? He's just amazing. I mean, he was obviously his dad played quarterback in the pros and was a great college player at West Virginia, Oliver Luck. And he's just fundamentally, there's just no one better. Brady's great. Rodgers is great. Breeze is great. Ben's great. Derek's gotten really good. I never thought I'd compare Derek. Derek's not quite on the level of Andrew Luck. But Andrew Luck, to me, I would take over any quarterback in football. The problem they have is they cannot protect him. I mean, the Raiders put 3 members of their offensive line in the Pro Bowl, and the Colts cannot find a line. Their centers are rookie. Their right guards are rookie. Their right tackles are rookie. And Andrew, he likes to hold the ball. He's a tough guy. He's not Brady. He will not get the ball out fast. He will hold it, and wait and wait and wait. That's why he gets the big plays, and he's so precise with his passing. But he will literally throw the ball as he's going to his knees. Sometimes he competes too hard too long, where he needs to just give it up and move on. But he wants to make every play, and he's so capable. So he scares me because he's such a good player. He'll attack the weaknesses in the Raiders' middle defense, the linebacking core, and coverage, the slots. Although T.J. Carey's playing better, he'll hit you over the top with T.Y. Hilton. They're tough to deal with. They went into Minnesota on Sunday. That's one of the best defenses in pro football statistically, and they went right through them. So I want Derek Carr's finger to be really better to complement the running game. Try to get under center. I don't think they're going to be able to do that. But you're going to have to win this in a shootout. I think this is going to be a high scoring game, and this is it. You can't give this one up and let Kansas City, jump back on top, and they're going to play Denver on Christmas night. So this is going to be a huge weekend for the Raiders to win on Christmas Eve and hopefully see Kansas City lose on Christmas night and secure the AFC West. But Sunday's going to be fun. Andrew Luck's never played in Oakland before. We played him in Indy, but this will be fun to play him at Oakland.
That's Greg Papa doing the thing, making some time for us on a Wednesday morning. Greg, you know, well, I guess we'll talk to you. Most of us are going to be off next week. So Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, all the holidays, the whole deal. You know, we've loved having you on, man. We look forward to doing it in the new year.
Well, you know what? We don't have to say goodbye. If we don't talk next week, we'll talk in January because the Raiders are going to the playoffs.
They're playing. They're going to be
Yeah.
Love it, Greg. Thanks, man. We'll talk to
Merry
you soon.
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. We'll talk to you.
You too. Thanks. Greg Papa, man, he's the man, the myth, the legend. Except he's not a myth at all. He's just the man and the legend. And he joins us this morning on KHTK. All right, when we return, final half hour of the show, I think we're going to check in with Ken Rudolph. We'll see what the old Ken doll's up to. That's on the other side, Sports 1140 KHTK. There you go. Kings win 126-121. Again, Jeff and Yuba City's won a Kings prize pack and a $50 Bearco Redwood gift certificate. So, you know, stay tuned. In fact, tomorrow we're going to have another one of those because the Kings are playing the Jazz tonight in Utah. That's where Katie is right now. 6 o'clock tip-off, 4:30 with game night. I'm going to be hosting game night, guys. So in case you didn't get sick of me in these 3 hours, you'll have an entirely other hour this afternoon for that to happen.
They're so lucky, Nate.
Mm-hmm. Telling me. Hey, I was just reading this thing on Pro Football Talk as we kind of try to wrap things up here. And actually, I do want to get to G-Man's call of DeMarcus's ejection/unejection last night. I think we've got that here. But real quick, I was just reading.
Is that a word?
It's unejection, dis-ejection. I'm just making. That's never happened before.
I know. Also, hey, we're making it a new word. There you go.
Yeah. So, okay. I just real quick, though, read something on Pro Football Talk about how Ezekiel Elliott was talking about Christian McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette and those guys. And he said he would have done anything to play one more game at Ohio State. And as our friend Mike Florio so astutely pointed out, he actually had the opportunity to play about 14 more games at Ohio State had he stayed in school. So, you know, the point there being that the only thing that anyone is ever going to remember about the Sun Bowl is that a really good college player skipped it one time. It's a completely, utterly meaningless game. Anyway, that's not the point. But, you know, back to the Kings. I did, you know, Cousins was talking with you after the game, Katie, about, you know, kind of throwing out conspiracy theories almost. You know, this is ridiculous. This is, you know, this is the league's been doing this all year long, which is ironic to me because, you know, for a group of guys that are out to get DeMarcus Cousins, I've never seen an ejection rescinded during play.
Yeah, so that's another thing here that kind of goes into the story that we didn't really touch on. Obviously, DeMarcus was very upset after the game, and we know that those comments were aimed at the officials and what he feels is kind of a target on his back. And whether or not he's willing to admit it, like, a lot of that is self-induced, and it's been happening since his rookie year, and it just continues to build. And that's a reputation he has now, and I've played with players, Diana Taurasi being a perfect example, that built that reputation for herself as well. And when she tried to kind of reverse it and set it back and kind of, you know, get rid of that stigma, she had a really hard time because it's just there. And so DeMarcus, for someone that is so upset about the officials coming after him, they actually made a call that was in his favor. And some that we're seeing taken from fans behind the Portland bench kind of throw into question that, okay, that wasn't an accident, you know, of your mouthpiece flying out of your mouth. You know, so it's crazy that you're going to complain and just kind of where he sees things coming from, because, you know, that was in his favor and the King's favor.
Here's G-Man and Jason Ross on the call last night. All right, that sounded like a straight out of a scene of WWE. All right, when he starts coming back out on the floor, it's like, is that DeMarcus's music? Oh my God, it is! DeMarcus! Oh, what is he doing? That was amazing. It's just, again, one of the weirdest things that's ever existed.
That we'll probably ever see.
Love it. And honestly, the Kings get a win as a result. Hey, Katie, we got to bounce. You know the drill. Jim Rome's next. But, you know, I appreciate you joining me from Salt Lake City. It would have been lonely this morning.
Oh, Nate, you know what? I would never desert you like that. Like you're going to be doing to me. Like, no, like you're going to be doing to me next week. So. Shots fired. Have a good one.
Here comes DeMarcus Cousins out of the tunnel. Hey, thanks, Katie. All right, Lowdown today, noon to 3, and you got Grant Napier, Kings and Jazz tonight, 6 o'clock tip-off, game night at 4:30. All right, Jim Rome is next. This has been The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK.